John chapter 2, one of the last books of the New Testament. If you find the book of Revelations as the last book and go a couple books before that, you'll find a series of three books entitled 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We're in the book of 1 John in the second chapter, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. You can follow along in your Bibles. If you're not sure where some of the places are, I'll read every verse that we go to aloud, and you can follow along by listening. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, and God's Word says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Let's pray. God, we thank You for this morning. God, we thank You for Sunday school. Lord, we know that there are those downstairs, there are those still on their way by the bus. And God, we pray that You'd be with them. And the teachers that are teaching, those that are working, God, we ask that You'd be with this building. God, we ask that You'd protect it, that You'd be with us this morning. God, we know that You have something for us, and we thank You for that. And God, we thank You for what You're going to do in this next period of time. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." You notice John writing here and writing back to his home church, he says, "My little children." So if you turn to Matthew chapter 18, draw your attention to verse number 3. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 3, Jesus talking. Verse 2 says that Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them, him and his disciples and those that He's teaching to and preaching to. And in verse 3, "And said," Jesus talking, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, what does that mean to become as a little child? Look at verse 4. "Whosoever therefore," He's expounding what it means to be a little child, "shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So becoming like a little child is becoming humble. If you'll turn again to Isaiah, keeping your place in 1 John, we'll go back to there and probably stay there. But if you turn to the first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse number 2. Isaiah speaking on God's behalf. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." What did He say? "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." They have rebelled against me. Back to 1 John, and we'll stay here in 1 John chapter 2. John talking to his church, as he's not able to be with them because he's in prison. But he writes to his church and he says to them, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not." Notice in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he doesn't say, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not, but if any sin." He says, "And," because he knows it's going to happen. He knows it's going to happen. But he says, "My little children, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." But he says that you should not sin. But when you do sin, you have an advocate. So what he's saying to them is that you can be on one side or the other, and they're not necessarily contradicting each other. Okay? He says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." It is always a command not to sin. Whether you're not sinning or whether you are sinning, there is always a command not to sin. And when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And God says you should always come to Him as a little child, which means in humility. And He says that "My children, I've raised you as children, and you've rebelled against me," in Isaiah. The difference being humility. And I believe in 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to give them to you quickly, But I think that you can see a discipleship pattern, a pattern of growth, a pattern of following God, starting with humility. Starting with humility. The difference between being a child that is without sin and being a child that is sinning is humility. The first step in following God is humility. Salvation. When you go to God and you say, you know what, I realize that I'm wrong, I'm a sinner, that you're a perfect God, and that the only way for me to get to you is through your Son, which is your way, which is your path, and I accept your way. You're being humble, like a little child. But when you go into sin, you go, well, I think I can make my own decisions or my way, my will, instead of yours. It's pride. Well, how do you get back into that path of being close to God again? Humility. No matter where you're at in your life, if you want to draw closer to God, the very first step would be humility. Look at verse 2 in 1 John chapter 2. Still talking about Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, the payment for Him, the proper payment, equal to the amount, not lacking at all. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If God is the propitiation, or Jesus Christ is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, why are they still guilty of them? But as a Christian, you stand propitiated, you stand, your payment has been paid for, Jesus Christ has washed away your sins, why are you no longer standing in God's eyes as guilty? What is the difference between they've all been paid for, but why are some of them repented of? Well, there, I just gave it to you, repentance. I just gave it to you. Individuals that repent of their sins stand separated from those that do not repent of their sins. I'm going to turn there. You don't have to, but I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 13 and read a couple verses in Luke chapter 13 as a cross-reference to this. In verse number 3, Jesus Christ talking again. He said, I tell you, nay, adding on to what he was saying before, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What's the difference between the world? All of their sin debt has been paid, but what's the difference between the ones that is accepted and the ones that aren't is repentance individually from each person, repentance. So you see the step there. The first one would be going to God in humility. The second one would be repentance from sin. And in Luke it also says in another place, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And toward the end, the rich man in hell says, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. So what was the difference between, as the rich man was in hell and he's speaking to Abraham on the other side there of that abyss, he says to Abraham, he says, no, but if you go to my brothers, they'll repent. See, the rich man knew that the difference between going to heaven and going to hell was individual repentance. And he knew that his brothers needed to repent of their sins. And he said, oh, but if somebody goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. By the way, he was wrong. Because somebody did go to them from the dead. And they did not repent. Many in this world do not repent. Step number one, going to God in humility. Step number two, going to God in repentance. If you're in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Step number three is obedience. As God teaches you, as God instructs you, you have the choice once again either to obey them or to reject them. Remember what God said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. I've raised you as little children. And in another place He says, just like chickens, I've covered you with my wings and protected you from the elements of the world, and you've rejected me. And you've disobeyed. Step number three is obedience. Obedience. Continue reading as verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Step number three was obedience. Step number five is assurance. This is how we know that we're in God. The love of God is perfected in us. And it says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Are you struggling with the assurance of your salvation? Are you struggling? Do you struggle at times? Maybe right now you say no, but yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I wonder about things, or sometimes I don't feel so secured in the love of God. It's a step. It's a progression. And oftentimes what happens is people struggle at step number 6 or struggle at step number 17, and so they go all the way back to step number 1, and they just throw it all out. Have you seen it before where somebody's growing in God and somebody is... it has taken that first step. They're saved, and they know they're saved. And they get closer to God. They repent of their sins. They start to get some sin out of their life. And they start to walk with God. And they start to be obedient under His Word. And then all of a sudden, they're back to step number 1, and they're away from God altogether. What happened is they did step number 1. They did step number 2. They did step number 3. Step number 4 was difficult. Can I say, don't go back to step number 1. Just keep trying at step number 4. It takes a mature Christian. It takes a step 4 Christian to follow step 4. You understand what I'm saying? Don't go back to step number 1. Just keep retrying. Don't quit altogether when you hit a wall. Just keep trying at that wall. We see that assurance that God gives you. You might not have that assurance 100%. If you're working with someone that's newly saved, they might not understand that assurance. They might not have that assurance. They're at step number 1. And praise God for that, but they need to grow. How can they do that? Humility, repentance, obedience, assurance. Look at verse number 6. And I know we're flying through these. Verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, how do we know how he walked? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's how we know how he walked. So when you get to this point, there should be a walk that is lining up with the walk that Jesus Christ walked. We start to talk how Jesus Christ talked, and we start to act how Jesus Christ acted, and we start to want to know what Jesus Christ taught about different subjects, and we want to look to our friends and to our colleagues and to our co-workers and to those that are around us. We want to portray Jesus Christ to them, and we want to walk as Jesus Christ walked. And we get to this point to where we start to imitate and we start to look like Jesus Christ. Because we have what He has inside of us growing. Our salvation is being perfected, and as the verse said before, the love of God is being perfected in us, and we start to walk as Jesus Christ walked. Notice, you don't start to walk as Jesus Christ walked in verse number 1. My little children. You're still a little child. It's a progression. Have you stopped somewhere along the line? Or are you walking as Jesus Christ walked? Follow the progression. Follow the steps. You start to walk as Jesus Christ walked. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. Now get this. But an old commandment, which he had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. It's the same commandment, the old one, the new one. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Now what he's saying is, there's an old commandment, there's a new commandment, and it's not a new commandment, but it's a new commandment. So in other words, well, I've heard the old commandment and I just don't understand it. Hey, I understand it. I just learned a new thing. It's the same as the old thing. What's the difference? Something shined a light in here and now I understand the commandment. And it's not a new commandment, but it sure is new to me. It's a new commandment. The old commandment made known to me is a new commandment, but it's the same as the old commandment. It's a new commandment to me. Because that light shines inside of you. That light shines inside of you. You can always learn something new. You say, oh, that discipleship stuff, that's step 1, step 2, that's old hat. I'm so far along the line, I don't need to keep growing. Hey, you need to keep growing. Because that old commandment can be made new and can be made afresh every single day by the Holy Spirit shining that light inside of you. And by the way, it's the same power as when you were saved. Because Jesus Christ shines a light into every person that believes. John chapter 1. That brings along your salvation. Well, the same light is shining in you today, and just as you had that new, fresh relationship with God when you were saved, you keep growing close to Him, it gets more new and more powerful and more fresh every single day. But it's a progression. You have to take certain steps. You have humility, step number one. Repentance, step number two. Obedience, assurance. You start a walk, and there's a shining light. And by the way, that light will shine to others around you if it's shining in you, accepted, and then it shines out from you. Just as the moon does to the sun, reflects the light of the sun. You reflect the light of the sun. Verse number 9. He that saith he's in the light. Okay, I say I'm not on step number one. I say I'm on step number 8 or step number 9. Well, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now there is yet another step. Brotherly love. Brotherly love. If you're a mature Christian, you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. If God is working in your life and you say, well, I'm up there, I'm a spiritual person, then you have a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. A love that is likened unto, as we talked about, the walk that's like the walk of Jesus Christ. And you go back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John to find out how Jesus Christ walked. Well, then your love for your brothers and sisters will be like His love was for those disciples and for that multitude and for all those that were around Him during His life here. And you're going to have that same type of love for those around you today. Now consider just for a moment, we're not going to go into all of it, but consider all that Jesus Christ did, and I'm not talking about just on the cross, I'm talking about in His day-to-day life during His three-year ministry on this earth. Think of all that He did. The number one thing that He did was abstain from sin. He was the Son of God. He was pure. He followed the law to a T and was able to fulfill the law because of it. Now that's you as a mature Christian. Having that brotherly love, you're going to be like Christ was. Can I tell you, you can't possibly do that and not be in prayer. You can't possibly be here at this point in your Christian maturity level and not be in the Word of God and not hold it close to your heart. You can't possibly be here if you're not faithful to the house of God, if you don't strive to get closer to God, if you're not taking a step actively toward God. Take these steps to get closer to God. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you say, yeah, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I've come to God. And every time He speaks to me, I'm humble and I accept it and I repent of wherever I realize I'm wrong. And I'm obedient to Him. And I know that I'm saved. And I know He's my God. And I know I have a relationship with Him. I feel His presence. Day after day, I'm walking with Him. He's shining a light in me, but I don't have that brotherly love. How can God possibly love that person? How can God possibly have patience with that person? They should be farther along by now. How could God possibly want this or want that? Maybe that's where you're at tonight. Don't quit altogether. Just keep working on that step of brotherly love. Continue to read. Let's read verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And again, I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now keep these verses in your mind. And we'll follow 1, 2, and 3. In verse number 12, he says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now look at the end of verse 13. He says it again, I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. When you know the Father, you realize how he forgave your sins. And he says, I've written unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And then he says, I've written unto you little children because you have known the Father. You learn about his name, you learn about who he is, you know the Father when you realize the sin debt that he's paid for you, little children. Look at the beginning of verse 13. Now, follow this just for a moment. I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now get this. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Now look at the middle of chapter 14. He says it again. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you've overcome the wicked one. So how is it that in verse 13 the young men overcame the wicked one? It's because in verse 14, I've written unto you young men because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you. Young child, how do you get to know God? Because you realize the sin debt that he paid for you. You turn to God and you grow close to him and you get to know God. How is it, young men, you've overcome the wicked one? Because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you. Again, a progression of step. Now watch this, and we'll finish out these verses here. In verse 13, the beginning. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Now watch the progression to verse beginning of verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. There is no progression there. That's as far as you can get. He says to the children, you've overcome, or you've worked on these sins, you realize the sin debt, and you get to know God. He says to the young men, you've overcome sin because the word of God abideth in you, and you're strong because of that. He says to the fathers, you've known him that is from the beginning. He says to the fathers, you've known him that is from the beginning. Because that's as mature as you can get spiritually, is to know him that is from the beginning, is to understand the depth of the knowledge of God, is to understand the name of God, is to understand the Word of God from cover to cover. Now obviously you can't understand everything about it, but when you get to know God, you cannot get any more spiritually mature than that. You've gotten as high as you will progress, you've gotten as far as you will get, and you know that you can always grow. So in other words, there's more that each and every one of you can know about him that is from the beginning. Wouldn't you like to take that step today? Wouldn't you like to know more about God, to grow closer to God, to understand more of his word, and to understand more of his grace, and to understand more of his mercy and his long-suffering kindness, to understand more of the warmth of the joy and peace of God? You can always get to know more about God. And he says, children and young men and fathers. And by the way, why doesn't he say girls, young women, and ladies? Anytime you see in the, and this is a major side note, anytime you see in the Bible he's talking in the masculine, it's because it's proper English. Imagine how annoying and frustrating the Bible would be every time it said him, it said his or her. Him or her, he or she, it's just proper English. He's speaking to you alike, and the Bible is not sexist. It's just using proper English. This would be a very, very long and impossible to read book if every time it said he or her, him or her, he or she, it's just using proper English. That way we can read it simply and understandably and apply it to our life. Okay? So that's why it says that. Like I said, very... side note. All right, so we understand that. The children, the young men, and the fathers, the progression that's in this book, 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. Verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The next step you'll see is you have humility, repentance, obedience, assurance. You have a walk that's likened unto his walk, a shining light, brotherly love, and the next step you'll see is proper priorities in your life, proper priorities. You have starting a family, or you have getting an education, or you have your career, or you have what exactly, you only have so much time in your life. What does God want you to do with that time? You only have so much ability in your body. What do you want to do with that time? As a church, you have to find your proper priorities. How much time are we going to put into the children's ministries and the adult ministries? And how what are we going to do about our building needs? Or what are we going to do about our parking lot? You have to have proper priorities. Well, how do you get that? First of all, you have to be a mature Christian. You're not in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. You're in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. And it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How do you keep the world's ministries from overtaking this church? How do you have God's ministries taking over this church? How do you make sure that the songs you're singing and the things that's going on in this building are it's God's way and it's not the world's way? But when you have mature Christians, which is what makes up this body and is what makes up this church, making the decisions and running this church, what you have is you'll have a group of people that don't love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. But they have the love of the Father in them, and they have proper priorities. You have the supreme Godhead as ruler in your life, and you'll have proper priorities. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. How do you keep those things out of here, out of this building, from getting into the downstairs, from getting into the nursery, from getting into the pulpit, from getting into the music, from getting into the into your life? You have to have proper priorities. And it comes from being a mature Christian. Like I said, if you've gotten to this step and you're struggling, don't go back to the first one. Continue to progress. Look at verse number 17, the final step that I have to give you this morning. And the world passeth away. We understand that there is an end to this world. We understand that this world is not the all there is. And you could become the supreme ruler of whatever you might have in your life, or whatever your job might be, or whatever your ambitions and goals are for this world. And God gives people ambition, so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying you could achieve all there is to achieve in this world. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your spiritual needs are much greater than your physical needs. And your spiritual progression is much more important than anything else. And this world passes away. And the lust thereof, verse 17, 1 John chapter 2. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The final progression in this step of these first 17 verses is that you'll have one will. There will be one will in your life. It won't be what mom wants and what dad wants and what I was always taught to do, or it won't be what I want to do against what God wants to do, or it won't be the battle of the spirit and the flesh, and it won't be the battle of God's ways against my ways, or man's ways against God's ways. It won't be this battle going on, because a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. But there will be one will. And even as Jesus Christ followed God's will to a T and did everything that God would have him to do, you'll be just like that, because that light will be shining in you. You'll be walking as he walked. You'll be obedient to him. And there will be one will in your life. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that spiritual progression will abide forever. And those spiritual blessings are eternal. In the spiritual growth that you get closer to God, he doesn't think that's some small thing. You might say it's a baby step to you. God doesn't see it as a baby step at all. He sees it as a massive step, and he appreciates it, and he loves it, and it brings a smile on his face. And he gets joy from his children. Just as he was angry at them when he rejected them, he is happy with them, and he fills them with joy when they take a step closer to him. Tonight we're going to look at 6, 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock tonight. I'm going to bring a message tonight entitled God's Healthcare Plan. Because of the healthcare plan debates that have been going on and things like that, to bring a message of how God can keep you healthy. Because he's concerned over your body and your mind and your emotions and your spiritual stability. And we're going to look at that. But the growth that you have is going to have an impact on your life in a major way. And you need to follow God's word and grow closer to him. But if you've hit a wall somewhere in your growth, and if you've hit a wall somewhere in your progression, don't just step out of this building and say, I'm never going back to that church again. I hate those people and all these kinds of things. Don't just turn your back and say, I just can't do it. It's way too hard. All right? You're right. It can get hard. And there are steps that you have to take. And there are walls that you'll hit. But if you're here for next Sunday's Sunday school, you know the wall you'll hit the week after that will be a little bit easier than the wall you're hitting this week? Do you know that if next week's midweek service, if you're here for next week's midweek service, do you know the wall you'll hit the week after that's going to be a little bit easier than the one you hit the week before that? Because it's a progression. And God's giving you the tools to grow. And the peace that passes all understanding and the joy that fills your soul comes from God. All right, but it is a progression. I'll give them to you again. Come to God as a little child. We saw that as humility in Matthew chapter 18. Repentance. The only thing separating the soul in hell from the soul in heaven was repentance. And we saw that in Luke 13:3 and 16:30, the rich man and Lazarus. Obedience to God's word. Assurance of your salvation. A walk that's just like his walk. A shining light. That light will shine in you, it'll shine to others, and it shines just as bright as it did the day you were saved. Brotherly love, it's not the first step. Proper priorities, also not the first step. You have to grow. Be patient. And finally, you'll have one will. God's will be your will, and you'll have one will. There won't be any battles or struggles, you won't be unstable, you'll be strong. And you'll have one will. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word, the truth that's in it. God, we know we can apply these truths to our lives and we can grow. God, these are only 17 verses. There's many, many more in your word. We ask that you continue to teach us and help us to grow. Thank you for what you'll do in this next period of time. In Jesus' name, amen.